Thank you for this day. We thank you for each one who's come our way, and thank you for the Word of God, the revealed Word of God that we can study today and know your will. And Lord, thank you for giving us the Word of God today. May it be taught and preached in a clear fashion. May it be applied, that it be helpful to us. We do pray for these special needs today. Think of the Woodards today especially. And Lord, we pray you just encamp around them and guide and direct as they'll be making many decisions now, and give the doctors wisdom as they are making decisions even today about this biopsy, and pray that the clot would clear up and not cause any complications. And Lord, just minister there, we pray. Do pray for Jesse as he will be having this procedure done in Nashville. We pray that it might destroy the cancer in his body and bring him back to health. And for Maxie, she has a stress test tomorrow. Lord, just reveal to the doctors her true condition that they might be able to help her. Think of Rena Brummett, Lord. You know the need there. Not sure of her salvation, Lord, and near death. We pray that you just minister and draw this family to you through this time. And for Becky Phillips, also having a blood clot, we thank you. She's making good progress, and just continue to heal her and help her. For Sarah Gregory with cancer, Lord, and struggling there, we pray that you touch her and give your grace and help to her in this time. And pray for Homer as he has surgery tomorrow, and pray that he'd be successful and be able to help him with his Crohn's he's been suffering with now for many years. And for the Perkins, as Rose is nearing death, we pray that you'd just give her special grace, help her husband in this time, and help him to be able to endure. And Lord, for Rodney Williams with cancer and Hayden Bowers with his brain injury, Lord, you know the need there. And Lord, lots of great needs today, and we pray that you would just help these folks and minister to them. Bless our time now together as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in 1 Thessalonians 2. This morning, our schedule says that we're supposed to conclude the chapter. What I try to do when I begin to study a passage is just sit down and just read it over and over and over again and try to discern what the theme of the passage is. And so I did that, and I read, but every time I read it, I got stuck on one statement. It is not really the theme of the passage, but it is something that I need to hear from time to time and you need to hear from time to time. And I'm going to read this morning, verse 17 through 20. This is the text that we're supposed to be studying. And just see if there is a phrase. Again, it's not the theme. It's kind of a rabbit trail, I suppose. But it's one that has really encouraged me and helped me as I've thought about this topic. So see if you pick it out as we read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Satan hindered us. Now, again, this is not the theme of the passage, but it is a message that all of us need to be reminded about. I won't have you raise your hand. Well, yes, I will. How many of you this week have thought about the fact that there is a real devil who's out to destroy your life? Well, most of you. That's pretty good. Maybe you don't need this lesson. Let's pray and go home. All right? I was talking with Pastor yesterday. We drove over to see Joyce. And he was talking about his time with Rom Ribeiro. And God is using Rom Ribeiro in Brazil in a mighty way. But Rom was talking about how the devil was working really in his mind. And he said, I know God's going to do something great in these meetings because the devil is really attacking. And Pastor said, you know, the same thing was occurring in his mind. They had some rain issues. You'll hear more about that tonight. But he said the devil just was working him over in his mind. And if we're honest, isn't that where the devil really attacks us? He attacks you in the mind. And he gets you worrying. He gets you doubting. He gets you questioning. And when the devil's got your mind, what else does he have? He's got you. He's got you. And every one of us in here struggles with temptation every day of our lives. And the way the devil wins the temptation is he gets you thinking wrong. And once you get a wrong view of God or a wrong view of the situation, you are fair game. And I was talking to the pastor and I said, you know, Pastor, sometimes I feel like there is this huge target on my back and the devil is just wailing away, shooting and just going after me and going after me. And I don't know. I'm probably not important enough for the devil to go after. It's probably one of, not Siemens, but demons, you know, that he is sending after us. I don't really know. I just finished reading a book about the Reformation, and Martin Luther, a great reformer, had such a reality of the devil, he would take his ink thing and throw it at the devil, you know, in the room there. And I don't, you know, he was a big target. I'm not much of one. But the simple matter of fact is, if you're a believer today, the devil wants to destroy your life. He really does. And I just want to take some time this morning, and I'm going to go to the context here and talk about what's going on so you'll know the setting. But the simple matter of fact is, believer, the devil cannot take you to hell. He cannot damn your soul. That's been settled once and for all at Calvary. But he sure wants to destroy your testimony, and he wants to destroy your home, and he wants to destroy your life. And folks, if we don't think about that, then we're not going to be prepared for the attack. And when the attack comes, we're going to lose. So we'll kind of get there as we move along. But I do want to at least act like I'm teaching the text, okay? First point this morning is their division. And for those of you that are visiting with us, let me just kind of give you what's been going on. Paul and the missionaries went to Thessalonica and began to preach there, and they preached in the synagogues 3 Sabbath days, and as they did that, some believed. People were saved, and people began turning to Christ, and as they did that, the Jewish leaders weren't real happy. And you can imagine that. I mean, if all of a sudden we've got probably, 90 people here this morning, and suddenly 50 of you went down the street to a different church, we'd be a little concerned, you know? And this is kind of what was happening. And the people were leaving the Jewish synagogue. Greeks who had been proselytes, they were leaving. Some Jews were leaving. And because of that, the Jews got really upset with Paul. And they began to persecute Paul and the missionary team. And because of that, they had to leave. And it's interesting, the term that he uses here in verse 17 says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you." And that's an interesting word. It means to be orphaned from. What was Paul's relationship to these believers? He was their spiritual father. And so he said, really, as a spiritual father, we've been torn from you by these Jews and their oppression, and we had to leave. He said, now look, he said, we've been divided from you, but my desire, and you can see that in verse 17, is endeavoring to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again. He said, look, my great desire is to come back and minister to you. He said, we want to be with you. He said, my heart is with you. We're not with you physically, but you're in our hearts. We want to come and minister to you. We want to expound the word of God to you. We want to feed you. We want to help you to grow. And then we come to that phrase in verse 18, but Satan hindered us. Now, we don't know how Satan hindered Paul from coming. It could have still been the Jewish persecution. We don't know. It may have been something we really don't know. But somehow, the devil was hindering. He was cutting into the ministry of Paul, and Paul was not able to do what he wanted to do. Now, that's kind of the preface to what I really want to talk about, and that is this hindering of the devil. And I want to talk real quickly about his purpose, his person, and his purpose. Help me here. Who is the devil? Is the devil a real being? Has horns, right? His pitchfork? Why do you think the world pictures him like that? It's scary and mean. It's kind of a joke, though, isn't it? I mean, the devil's no joke, is he? And we won't take the time to look in Ezekiel chapter 28, but the Ezekiel chapter 28 describes Lucifer, the star of the morning, this being, and describes in very explicit terms. And how does it describe him? What are some things that that passage tells us about Lucifer? He was what? Angel of light. What else? He was a beautiful creature. He was what? No, he wasn't. That is a heretical doctrine. I can't believe you'd say that, buddy. That cuts me really deep. Somebody said when the devil fell out of heaven, he landed in the church choir. That's not true either. Although, he was very talented musically, undoubtedly. That is true. Here's the amazing thing. He was the protector of the holiness of God. He was the anointed cherub. He was a very important creature. But what happened in Isaiah chapter 14? Pride. And the devil said, Lucifer said, you know what? I am not content with my position. I want to be like God. I want people to worship me. I want to have dominion. And he rebelled against God, and what did God do? He said, it's not going to happen. And God cast him out of heaven. He no longer dwells in the presence of God. In fact, he's dwelling in this domain here. He's the prince, the power of the air. But I took the time to do that, folks, because even though the devil is a mystical creature, he is a real being. Now, what are his desires? What does he want to do in your life? Let me give you three things. His purpose. Number one, and that is the damnation of your soul. The damnation of your soul. The devil is a defeated being. He knows where he's going. In fact, it's interesting. In Matthew chapter 25, it says that there is a place that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. He knows where he is going. And even in his, now think about this, folks. The devil is so powerful and so crafty that when he rebelled against God, there were a group of one-third of the angels that joined him. Now think about that, folks. That's what you're up against. And his desire is to take every person that he can to hell with him. Now, it's almost Christmas time. What are some things the devil did to try to keep Christ from dying on the cross for you? What's the first thing? King Herod tried to kill him as a child. What's the next thing? Now, we could talk about a lot of things, really, in his life. The crowd tried to stone him. He tried to get the people to make him king. All kinds of things occurred in the New Testament in Christ's life where the devil was trying to get the Lord to die in a different fashion so he would not die for our sins. Even in the garden of... I skipped Matthew chapter 4, the temptation. Yeah. What about the Garden of Gethsemane? And the Lord was distraught, and he bled great drops of blood. Can you imagine? Sweating drops of blood. Now, the amazing thing is, all this time the devil tried to get the Lord, and finally he got him, and he killed him on the cross. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the party in hell for 3 days? Can you imagine all the demons and the devils, and they're all getting together? We got him. He's dead. We got him. It's over. No salvation. These people are all going to be damned and go to hell with us. Then came Sunday, and Christ arose, and the devil is defeated. But I tell you what, folks, even though he's defeated, he's still trying to damn people to hell. Now, what are some things that the devil does to get people to reject Christ? Well, that's a big one, isn't it? How many people have you witnessed to and gave them the gospel and they said, well, you know, I can see that and I'll do that someday or later? What else does he get people to believe? Not bad enough. You're okay. I mean, you're no worse than that guy next door. What else? Yeah, there's something you can do. You know, you don't need Christ. You know, you're a good guy. You're a good lady. There's something you can do to merit heaven. Yes, sir. And there, and if you've witnessed to people much, you've talked to somebody, and they said, well, if that's how God is, I don't, you know. You say, God loves me. How can that be? Look what's happened in my life. Yes, sir. They're all the same. They're all the same. How's the devil doing, by the way? He is out to damn people's souls. Now, have you got that dealt with? Are you a child of God? Have you come to the point in your life where you said, there is nothing I can do, I deserve to go to hell? But I know Jesus Christ died for me, and by faith you've accepted him, and you've become a child of God. Now, one of the great things that happens, folks, the moment you trusted Christ, the gates of hell are slammed for you, and you're never going to have to worry about going to hell. What a wonderful truth. Wonderful truth. And so once David walked, how old were you when you got saved, David? 12 years old. Once you got saved, the devil was trying to keep you from getting saved. You got saved. And so the devil said, you know what? David Wampler is saved. There's nothing I can do to him. I'm going to leave him alone the rest of his life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be a great thing? You see, folks, not only has he tried to damn people to hell, but he wants domination in your life. He wants to dominate. He wants to rule and reign in your life. Now, how does he do it? Let me remind you of Genesis chapter 3. And how is he described? It says, now the serpent was more subtle. He's crafty. He's cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it uses a different word. I heard the kid talking about the willies of the devil. Well, it's not really willies. It's the wiles. But it'll give you the willies. What are the wiles? His trickery to lie in wait. And folks, the devil is using a snare to catch you. And he's isn't it amazing? How many have seen the beer commercial where the guy's drinking a couple six packs and then they show him laying in the gutter and, you know, and they show him losing his family and then they say, drink Budweiser. Anybody seen that one? You haven't? What do you see? You see the high, yeah, that's right. He's driving. He's not driving an old piece of junk. He's driving a Corvette, and he's got this beautiful woman with him. Maybe his wife, may not. Who knows? You may drive a Corvette in here. I don't think so. I think we're okay there. You don't have a Corvette, do you, Larry? Do you have a Corvette? I'm sorry about that. You know, if you want to get rid of that to help your image, it helped me to do my visitation a whole lot faster if I had that. Sorry about that. Lamborghini. How about that? Anybody have a Lamborghini? Okay. You know, you don't want to get personal with these things. I've never seen you on a beer commercial, Larry. You okay? You're all right. You're all right. Isn't it amazing, though? Now, think about your life. And the devil comes to you and he says, you know what? It's not going to hurt anybody. Hey, look, you have a right to be happy. How many marriages have been broken by that thought? You know, your husband is a jerk, and you're not happy. And there's this guy over here. You have the right to be happy. You know, you, life is hard enough. You have the right to have pleasure and joy. And it's not going to hurt anybody else. It's going to be okay. Anna Marie mentioned early on 2 Corinthians 11:14, and it says, "For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Let me ask you a question. What is the devil trying to get you to do in your life? Where is he trying to dominate your life? Now, you don't have to answer. This is kind of between you and the Lord. Okay? But every one of us in this room, we could start back there with Melina and Ed and Dave, and every one of you, the devil has a tactic to get you to sin, to get you to do wrong, to destroy your life, to destroy your testimony. John chapter 8 and verse 44 tells us something else about the devil. What does it tell us about him? He's a liar and the father of it. When did we first see the devil lying? Garden of Eden. Very first temptation. Oh, you're not going to die. And what did God say? God said, "You will die." The devil says, "Oh, you're not going to die." And then he got Eve to do what? She changed the word of God. Oh, we're not supposed to eat it. In fact, we're not even supposed to touch it. Had God said that? No, she's in big trouble now, isn't she? Now look, folks. I want to remind you that today the devil wants to destroy your life, and he's going to come to you, and he's going to lie to you, and he's going to try to hook you and to get you to do wrong. It is a real active event, folks, and he wants to dominate your life. So first, he wants to damn your life. He wants to dominate your life. Thirdly, he wants to destroy your life. And you know 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about," and what's he doing? "Seeking whom he may devour." Did you realize, David, that's going on in your life today? Today. Here we are, we're so spiritual and holy, and we've got our ties on and our suits, and we're holding our Bibles, and we're sitting in church, and we're so spiritual, and the devil is after you right now. And you know what he's saying to some of you? Boy, that bald head guy's an idiot. That's not true. Some of you are agreeing. That's not true. It's easy. You do what you want to do. You enjoy life. And the devil wants to destroy you, destroy your testimony. By the way, my dad and you, some I'm sure others have said it, it takes years to build a testimony, takes seconds to destroy it. And he wants to destroy your home. And he wants to make wives bitter against their husbands. And husbands bitter against their wives. And he wants to get us where we won't forgive people. I tell you what, folks, if right now you've got somebody you won't forgive, you are a prime target for the devil. He's got you right where he wants you. "Well, they don't deserve my forgiveness." The lie of the devil. "They deserve whatever's coming to them." Lie of the devil. Folks, the devil is out to destroy you. Now, he is a mighty, cunning foe. Now, here's the good news. We're not going to stop there, okay? All right? Let me give you the last thing, our protection. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a great verse. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." That's encouraging. You're not alone in your temptation. But God is faithful, who will also make a way of escape. There's always a way out. Have you ever been tempted? I'll take a poll. And the devil has got you so defeated that you say, you know what? I can't help it. I'm going to sin. There's nothing I can do about it. I might as well just go ahead and do it. How many have ever done that? Just me, myself, and I. Okay. And now a few hands, a few guilty people right there. Okay. Isn't that the way the devil does it, folks? And he's out to destroy you. And I want to remind you that there's always a way of escape. There's always a way of escape. Now look, if you don't hear anything but this, you never have to sin. You don't have to sin. That verse says there's always a way out. Now, hallelujah, if you can help it, don't put yourself there, you know. Well, I'm going to put myself in this situation and just see what happens. No, that's stupid, okay? But there's always a way out. Now, look, again, if you're asleep, wake up and listen to this statement. You don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. Now, we have all failed so many times that we think there's no hope. Let's just hang it up. There's no way. Now, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and you know this chapter, the armor chapter. But there's a neat word all throughout this passage. It's used four times, and I want you to see it. 6:10, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now notice this phrase. That ye may be able to what? Stand. Now what is he saying? It is possible to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, notice, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. What's the first word? Stand. Stand. How do you have victory over the devil? Is it possible? Let me give you a couple things real quickly. And I really am going to look at the first temptation and the last temptation of Christ. And you know this very well, but I'm just reminding you. Matthew chapter 4, the devil comes to the Lord, and it's interesting, he tempts him in all the ways that we are tempted. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. They're all there. The desire to have, the desire to be, the desire to do. Fun, fame, and fortune. Folks, look, if you were to take all your temptations, it would fall under those categories. Fun, which is pleasure. Fame, hey, I'm somebody. Fortune, to have something. Well, how does he tempt the Lord? Well, you know, you haven't eaten for 40 days. Make these stones into bread. You have the right to satisfy yourself and to have physical pleasure. He said, look, if we're going to go look at all the kings in the world, and if you do what's bad unto me, I'll give them all to you. You can have all this power. He said, look, you throw yourself down from the temple, and all the angels are going to catch you. You can show them that you're really somebody. And how'd the Lord respond? In all three cases, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Folks, you hear it every Sunday probably. Read God's word every day. Get in the word of God. Look, if you don't get in the word of God, if you don't know the word of God for your temptation, let me ask you a question. Again, I'm not going to have, this is not confession. I'm not a priest. How many of you know the specific areas that the devil usually attacks you? Okay? How many know? You know the specific areas. There's probably one or two that the devil usually, all right, let me ask you a question. Do you have scripture, specific scripture for those temptations? Now look, Brother Doug and I are very different people. We have the same haircut, but he has very different temptations probably than I do. I don't know what his are. I do know what mine are. They're probably very different. Anna Marie probably has very different temptations from both of us. And Rachel probably has different ones too. Now, all of us need to know Scripture for our temptation. Whatever it is, okay, we need to know it. Christ didn't just quote the Ten Commandments, okay? He quoted specific passages for specific temptation. Let me ask you a question. All right, you know what your temptations are. The areas the devil usually attacks you. Do you have Scripture to battle the devil for those temptations? Now, folks, it's not enough when temptation comes and say, well, you know, I remember Pastor Jody preached on something that had something to do with that. We need to be able to say, thus saith the Lord. How do you battle lies with the truth? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, there's the first thing. Now, I want you to fast forward to the Garden of Gethsemane. And really, this is the Lord's last temptation. And his disciples are being tempted. And he gave a very poignant statement. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Did the disciples pray? Did they watch? They slept. They didn't pray. When the temptation came, what happened? The Lord did pray. And it's interesting. The first temptation, he was tempted how many times? Last temptation, he was tempted how many times? He went three times and he prayed. He came back, they were sleeping. He went and he prayed. And he, look, we talk about praying in the Word of God all the time. But if you don't do it, the devil will destroy your life. It's that simple. It's that simple. You say, Gary, I can make it on my own. Good luck with that. By the way, how's that working out for you? And we get so busy and we get so sidetracked that we're not alert, we're not watching, we're not praying, we're not reading, and boy, like I said, we're like a big bullseye. And we're easy pickings for the devil. I don't know if you need this lesson this morning, but I sure do. Because I often find in my life, as I try to serve the Lord and do right, I find Satan is hindering me. And I have an idea he probably is you too. Now, believer, he wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy you. God has given you two weapons. And by the way, in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and he ends that whole thing, and you put it on with prayer. You see the two weapons. Are you prepared for the devil's attack? Are you prepared? Are you prayed up? Are you praying? Do you have the Word of God to help you in the battle? Folks, I want to remind you today, the devil wants to hinder your life. He wants to hinder your life. But you can have victory. We can have victory through the Word of God and through prayer. It is there. It is available for us. We can stand. We can take the way of escape. It is possible, folks, but you got to use the weapons. You got to use the weapons. And that's why every day of our lives, we need to spend time in prayer and spend time in the Word of God, because then you'll be properly prepared for the attacks and you can have victory in the Christian life. Okay? Lord, we pray that you'd help us as believers to be people who pray, to be people of the Word of God. Lord, help us, I pray, this week. Help us today to have victory in our Christian lives. God, help us not to be destroyed by the devil. Give us victory, I pray. Help us to stand and to withstand in the evil day, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.